Hello and welcome to lesson number 10 in what we're calling God's Church Manual. A manual tells us how things ought to be done. This particular manual is telling us how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, written to pastors, telling us how things ought to be done. We pick it up today in 1st Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 7, where it talks about refusing and exercising. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Now, to refuse something is to indicate or show that one is not willing to accept something. And so I have found over all these years that life basically consists of choosing and refusing. Timothy was to make sure that everyone in his congregation knew what he was against and who he was against. And these things are written for our admonition. The Bible is very plain on this. We need to make sure that the people we are responsible for know what we are against and who we are against, because silence gives consent. Therefore, we are to indicate or show what we are not willing to accept. Now, it talks about fables here, and particularly wives' fables. In 1 Timothy 1:4, it says, "Neither give heed to fables." Here in 4:7, it talks about old wives' fables. 2 Timothy 4:4 says that they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And Titus 1:14 talks about giving heed to Jewish fables. Fables are something that they're imaginary. They're fabricated. There is no real foundation to a fable. When it talks about exercise, exercise is an activity requiring effort to sustain or to improve health and fitness, and we need to be improved spiritually, our health and our fitness. An activity is actions taken in order to achieve whatever we're aiming for. And so it's an activity. Silence gives consent. We need to indicate or show who we are against and who we are for. We need to indicate what one is willing to accept and what one is willing not to accept, and that better be based on the Word of God. The pastor has a responsibility to express what is acceptable unto God and what is not. And by the way, so do fathers. And ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Responsibilities: expressing what is acceptable unto God and what is not acceptable unto God. Now, life is basically made up of things we're choosing and things we are refusing, and if you've been doing that very long, you find that there's a price tag on choosing, and there's also a price tag on refusing. We read in Hebrews 11, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Now, he's choosing to suffer affliction. That word, the Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word, but it's only found one time here, and it is found here in this portion of Scripture where it talks about choosing rather to suffer affliction. The truth of the matter is, like Moses in this age of apostasy, if you are going to choose to go the way of the Lord, you are going to suffer some affliction. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come." Now, bodily exercise, the physical, that is temporal. But godliness, now we're dealing with things that are eternal. It says here, talking about things that are now and things which are to come. Godliness. So in verse 9 and 10, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now, we're going to suffer reproach. People are going to express disapproval of us if we are going to stand up in these last days, like the Bible teaches here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy says, Paul said to young Timothy, he said, these things command and teach. Now today we say, well, if I try to command people to do things, people are not going to listen to us. They want us to teach, but they want us to prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Don't go commanding us to do anything, because if you're going to do that, they're just going to leave and go somewhere else. Now, in verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, talking to the pastor here, young Timothy, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Now, we could be a couple of weeks on this portion of Scripture, on this one verse right here. It's interesting that what we're talking about with these subjects is the difference between the physical and the spiritual, and he has just mentioned that in the previous verse. And so the physical has to do with what we do for the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? The spiritual has to do with what he wants us to be. And so he says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He didn't say, hey, get together an attendance program and get out there and try and reach the crowd. He said, no, here's what you need to do. Give attendance to reading. It's interesting that back in Nehemiah, when they had that great revival back there, in chapter 8 it says, so they read in the book of in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Talks about exhortation. Exhortation, according to the dictionary, is communication emphatically urging someone to do or to be something. And in this case, Paul says, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And if we're going to be learning what those things are all about, give exhortation to doctrine. So important. Now, he says here in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, he talks about the gift. And again, this is another portion of Scripture where we could be a couple of weeks. We'll just make mention of it here. In Romans chapter 12, Paul said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, if you read down through this chapter in verse number 6, it talks about having gifts differing. Gifts. In verse 6, it talks about the prophet, the servant in verse 7, the teacher, then the exhorter in verse number 8, and the giver in verse 8, the ruler in verse number 8, and the mercy shower also in verse number 8. Now, he says to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And so these gifts, we're just going to give you an outline here. One is the prophet. And the prophet, the people in the church who are this, that have this gift, when it comes to a pastor, they would say, we need sermons that expose sin, proclaim truth, and warn of judgment to come. And we do. But then there's the servant, and they say, no, what we need to do as a church is we need to give practical assistance to every member of the church to encourage them and to help them with their responsibility. We need to be servants. And then there's the gift of the teacher. No, we need Bible studies with exact emphasis on the meaning of words. And they have to be presented in the context. This is important. So, no, we need to have a pastor who is a teacher. And the exhorter would say, no, we need personal counseling and encouragement for every member so they can apply Scripture to their everyday living. And then the administrator, called the ruler here. No, we need someone who can give us a smooth running church with all things being done decently and in order. We need organized or we will agonize. And then the giver, he said, no, look, we need programs focusing on financial help for missionaries and for those who are in need. And the Mercy Shore, no, we need a special outreach ministry to help meet the needs of the people who are hurting. And who's right? Every one of them's right. God gave these seven gifts, and you will be motivated in one of these areas to work for the Lord in the local church. You'll be motivated, but we should manifest in all seven areas. We should be doing all of these things. One of them we will do automatically. We'll leave it there for now. Maybe we'll do a series on these gifts. It's really one of the most important lessons I have learned over the years in how to handle situations in life is this thing about the gifts, because it helps us to understand why people react the way they do. So when it comes to this portion of Scripture, we're talking about unity, we're talking about truth, and we cannot have unity at the expense of truth. The faithful pastor will never seek for unity at the expense for truth. Amos 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Notice it does not say, how shall two walk together except they agree? It says, they be agreed, which means someone has to change his position. They have to become agreeable to each other. Someone's going to change. Now, silence in the face of false doctrine gives consent. It says, I agree. To refuse something is to openly decline to accept something. Now, Moses was offered the kingdom of Egypt. However, by faith, when he was come to years, he openly refused. He did that. We are commanded to preserve spiritual unity. However, we are never commanded to compromise to maintain it. Bible unity demands the refusal of error in doctrine and in deed. Unity that is built on truth demands division from error. Titus 1, 9 through 11 speaks of how we are to handle those who are the promoters of false doctrine, and it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers whose mouths must be stopped. They must be stopped. Why? Silence in the face of false doctrine gives consent. It says, I agree. We can't be silent. So there's much more to being a faithful pastor than preaching three times a week. The pastor who will stand true to the Word of God in this age of apostasy must be willing to stand for the truth at any cost. The truth of Scripture must be more important than the opinions of his pastor friends or church members. The pastor must be more concerned about truth than he is of unity. The pastor who stands true in our day of apostasy will lose church members, and he will lose the friendship of other pastors. Again, in Titus we read, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers whose mouths must be stopped, teaching things they ought not. Now today, well, Lord, we know what your word says, but we have found a better way. We're not going to expose those people. Oh, no, I want to be friends with everybody. If you want to be friends with everybody, you should get out of the ministry. Well, we'll look at lesson number 11 in our next program, where we learn how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God.